Yes, Father, we know that every real change and transformation that takes place in our lives, Lord, starts in you, Lord. In your will, in your heart, in your purpose for us, Lord. And today, Lord, as we worship you and as we come to this place, Lord, we acknowledge our need for revival, Lord. An awakening in our hearts, in our families, in our communities, Lord, in our churches, Lord. An awakening, Lord, that will make us come to you, Lord, and realize our need of you, Lord. With repentance and humility, Lord. Acknowledging our sin and how much we need that rescue from you, Lord, in the place where we are. And Lord, as we pray for that, Lord, we pray that we will humble ourselves to you, Lord. Recognizing, Lord, that in many ways, Lord, we have trusted in our own strength, Lord. Our own ability to save ourselves, Lord. We have trusted, Lord, in the strength of men in many capacities, Lord. When you are the only one, Lord, who have real power and transformation. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us in this place where we are, Lord. For not looking at your word. For not seeing reality, Lord. For not looking at our hearts, Lord. Being hardened, Lord, and rebellious in the midst of things that are going on in our society. Immorality, Lord. And things, Lord, that are promoted that are constantly against your word and your truth, Lord. We humble ourselves today, Lord. And we ask you that you bring us to see, Lord, that in you there is power and transformation and change, Lord. Do it in our time, Lord. And trust us with that ability, with that grace to see your power, the power of your Holy Spirit moving in our midst, Lord. Restoring families, Lord. Restoring, Lord, brokenness. Restoring woundedness, Lord. And bringing healing to the nation, Lord. To the people. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. We pray this morning, Lord, as we are focused here, Lord, in law enforcement. We pray that you give us wisdom and grace, Lord. As we focus, Lord, in the great heroes, Lord, that have worked hard through many months and years, Lord, in the midst of everything that is going on. Also, Lord, the volunteers, Lord, and firefighters and first responders, Lord, that day to day, Lord, are fighting and protecting and serving the community. And Lord, as we look at the battle today throughout this message, Lord, allow us to see it from a biblical perspective. And allow us to understand the times in which we are living, Lord, so that we may trust in you and follow your commandments and your direction. In your mighty name we pray, Lord. We thank you for everything you're doing in our midst, Lord. But we pray for more. And Lord, we know that we are here by your grace. But also, Lord, as we continue on, give us your strength. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated here for a minute this morning. Praise the Lord. As I was sharing when we started the message out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, actually verse 16, the Bible says that by Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Everything is being created by God. And as we acknowledge that, God has given us dominions, nations, authorities. And yes, there is a spiritual battle going on in which we sometimes fight the invisible realms of this world. Now, over there in that verse also, the Bible says that all things were created through him and for him. And one day, everything will give glory to God. But you know, if you look at the world around us, there is chaos and challenges and struggles going on, failures. And in many ways, we see the work of the enemy in action. And that makes you wonder, why, if Jesus has created everything for him and everything is going to give him glory, why is he not stopping the forces of darkness right now? And so there is a real battle going on. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation went into subjection, or subjection of futility, or to futility, for the sake of the sin that entered in the Garden of Eden. And so when that subjection of creation came, obviously we see the enemy ruling in this kingdom in some ways. He is the ruler of this world, or the king of this world, as Jesus says. And Jesus is allowing this for a time because in his patience he does not want anybody to perish. Amen. But he wants everybody to proceed to repentance. But in that time, we are going to see a battle. A battle that we experience in our own ways, in our own families, personally. A battle that is experienced by Christians in the church, by the church itself. But also a battle that is in many ways seen by the law enforcement and first responders and people that are serving the community. So with that, I want to invite our brother Glenn Trainer here this morning, because he's going to be sharing the Word of God, and he's going to be sharing from his perspective all these things that are going on in regard to the battle that we are facing. So Glenn, come on over here, brother. It's an honor to have Glenn, the Chief of Police in Winter Park and Fraser, being here this morning sharing with us. Amen.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me here. I've given this message twice, and now all the other cops are here, so they'll be able to tell you if I'm full of it or not. So as we celebrate Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, we just want to take a moment and thank the wonderful and heroic law enforcement officers and other first responders, as well as our volunteers, for all the wonderful things and the sacrifices they give to our community. We also want to recognize all of our volunteers, search and rescue, firefighters. They respond to hundreds of calls every year, and they do it for free. Well, some of you know me here, some of you don't, but if we've never met, I'm a Colorado native. My family homesteaded in the Buena Vista area back in the 1880s. And if you've been to Buena Vista, which that is the correct way it's pronounced, by the way, if you've been there and been to the golf course, that was my family's homestead. So I'm a veteran of the United States Air Force and have been in law enforcement for the last 42 years. I have far fewer years ahead of me, I hope, than behind me. The last 30 years, we have lived here in Grand County, where I first served as an investigator for the District Attorney's Office, served as 12 years as the Grand County Undersheriff, and today I celebrate my 16th anniversary of when I became the Chief of Police for the Fraser-Winter Park Police Department, which is absolutely the best decision I ever made because it's the best job I've ever had in my life. Robin and I met when I was in junior high school, and when she was a freshman, I asked her out to homecoming, but she wouldn't go out with me because I was kind of a nerdy kid and weighed all of 120 pounds. But my persistence paid off, and we've now been married for over 38 years. Now, many married couples develop nicknames for one another, and so you need to know that Robin calls me Pooh because she says I'm an old curmudgeon, which I kind of am. But she's the only one who gets to call me that. However, I have a nickname for her, too. When we get involved in a home improvement project, I typically start calling her Henry Ford because, as everyone knows, Ford always has a better idea. Well, we have four wonderful kids, our daughter Jordan and her husband Josh, who live in Aurora, and our son Aaron, who is a sergeant with the Grand County Sheriff's Office, and his wife Emma. They're all sitting here today. Robin will tell you that she knew what she was getting into when she married me, but she never signed up to have a son for a cop. Nevertheless, she's incredibly proud of him and his service to our community. And I'm just so appreciative that Aaron lives and works here. Both Robin and Emma are also deputy coroners here in Grand County. So they are kind of the last responders that people usually deal with. Last June, we were blessed with our first grandchild, who is Cain, and he's here today. Now, Cain is not spelled C-I-A-N like in the Bible. It's spelled K-A-N-E, which is a Gaelic term for little warrior. And if we're all lucky, we'll get to hear his battle cries this morning. Well, you know what? There's absolutely no question that 2020 was a trying year for everyone. And it seems like the only thing at this point that we can all agree on is just how awful the Denver Broncos are. But for our nation's guardians, 2020 brought additional new challenges every single day. In March, a global pandemic shut down our businesses, cost a lot of people their jobs, and prevented people from gathering together. And with new public health orders being issued almost every single day, our officers and deputies were put in an incredibly difficult position of minimizing contact with others for their own health while at the same time being asked to enforce these regulations. Well, I'm proud to say that all the law enforcement agencies in Grand County have taken the stance that we are going to do this by way of generating voluntary compliance with the law through education and community partnerships, which has always been our goal in every facet of law enforcement. Well, in early summer, several high-profile law enforcement-related deaths sparked a national outcry for police reform and social justice. New laws aimed at curbing the authority of law enforcement were drafted and passed in just a matter of a few days. Many government leaders called for the defunding or the outright abolishment of law enforcement agencies. And while some people engaged in peaceful protest, many others committed senseless acts of violence that resulted in over $1 billion of property damage, injuries to hundreds of officers, and the deaths of several innocent people. Well, if you believe the national narrative from last summer, you would imagine that cops are racist, jackbooted thugs who only want to deprive people of their constitutional rights. And I have no doubt that there are agencies in our country today that need an entire change of culture in the things that they believe in and the things that they do. But I can proudly tell you that the law enforcement agencies in Grand County are not part of that ethos. And we are very grateful for their service. Moving on through 2020, in mid-October, the East Troublesome Fire began northwest of the town of Hot Sulphur Springs and began moving eastward towards Highway 125. On October 21st, the fire crossed 125 near Cabin Creek. Driven by 40-mile-an-hour winds, the fire began rapidly expanding. Several of our deputies and even one of my officers responded to the Trail Creek subdivision to begin evacuations, but when they arrived, flames had already come over the top of Gold Run and were coming down into the valley. Nevertheless, these incredible men and women began driving through the subdivision to evacuate homeowners. But before they could leave, flames crossed the highway behind them and covered the roadway, potentially trapping them. I was in a meeting in Fraser that I just couldn't get out of, but began driving towards their location once I heard how fast the fire was expanding. When I came to the bottom of Red Dirt Hill that night, I could see that the entire horizon was on fire from west to east. And in this short video, you'll hear some of the radio traffic being broadcast.
We got fire on both sides of the road, closer to 34 now.
All units, you get one pass and then get out of here. I'm leading us out of here. It's pretty smoky. It's hard to see down this road, so just follow it out.
Yes, I want you to get out of there immediately. The winds are probably 30 to 40 miles an hour. The fire is across both sides of 41. If you have to drive through the fire, drive through the fire.
Everybody needs to get out now. Everybody get out now.
We're not going to be out.
So far, the winds are absolutely raging here. Happy. There is visible firing flames on the ridge line, but we're not going to be here for very long. It is a full evac everywhere from Uray Ranch north, including the town of Great Lakes.
Here were some.
It was absolutely horrifying to see those flames while listening to these brave men on the radio. But what you may not know is that as I was driving to Grand Lake, the voices that I heard on the radio were several close friends of mine, but also belonged to my son, the father of my grandchild. Thankfully, and due to nothing more than a miracle and God's hand of protection, they all made it out that night. And everything was done. There was not a single first responder who was injured or killed during this evacuation. And that is nothing short of a miracle. Well, every single first responder agency in Grand County and dozens of volunteers from those agencies, as well as agencies all over the U.S., responded and assisted with this fire, and they poured their hearts out for endless days and nights. On the screen is a picture of some challenge coins that the Murdoch family had made for all the law enforcement officers, and I believe Maverick actually is the one who did the artwork on that. Is that right? Yep. Yep. So that's just incredible. I have a lot of challenge coins that I've been given over time. This one is by far my favorite, and I am incredibly grateful that you folks did that. Something I also want to do as well is, if you are a family member or a close friend or a significant other of somebody who is in law enforcement, could you please stand up so that I can recognize you? Thank you so much for who you are. Yeah, well, it should go without saying that our law enforcement families have been equally affected by the events of the last 12 months. You have stood by and watched us as we worked long hours on little sleep. You cried inside to hear people you didn't know saying horrible things about the men and women you love. And you patiently prayed and supported us as we wondered out loud if we even wanted to do this job anymore. In October, you watched the horrendous flames and smoke plumes on the horizon, not knowing if your loved ones were safe. You have always been and always will be the proud but unsung heroes of law enforcement. Your love and sacrifice for our valiant knights never ends, but it is seldom acknowledged and often unappreciated. Today, we thank you for what you do and for supporting us. May God bless each and every one of you and protect you, because we couldn't do what we do without you. The title of my message today is, We Have Been Called for Times Such as This. Not only do I want to give you words of thanks for who you are and what you do, but hope and encouragement for the future. In doing so, I'm going to put myself out there a little bit and talk about some things that I have really struggled with in the last 9 to 12 months. I'm going to give you these words because more than anyone else, I need to hear them and I need to learn to follow them, because I still have a lot of growing to do. Because we live in such unique and challenging times, we as Christians, and especially as guardians of our community, cannot do our jobs the way that God intended without a proper perspective of our roles in a society where chaos and unrest seem to increase on a daily basis. But what does that look like? If you have found yourself, like me, to be disenchanted, disheartened, disappointed, and maybe even a little bit angry from time to time about what is going on around you, our only answer can be to turn to the Lord's Word and see what He has to say about it. And first off, as law enforcement officers, we have been chosen by God to be His servants to protect our community from anarchy and evil. If you turn in your word, if you have your Bibles with you, to Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 1, and it'll be up on the screen as well. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Clearly, he's in authority right now. Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he's the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Well, according to Scripture, all governing authorities are there because God has put them there. As the police, we are acting under God's divine authority when we hold lawbreakers accountable for their actions under the law. But when we decide as law enforcement officers that the laws in existence are not enough, and we step out from under that authority and take the law into our own hands and serve our own needs, our own wants, and our own desires, we lose the protection that we have. As men and women who proudly wear the badge, we serve as ambassadors for our community. As Christians, we serve as ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, we must always strive to serve in such a manner that the people we meet want the peace that we have. That becomes difficult when we face adversity, but in difficult times with difficult people or even difficult politics, we should always remember Paul's advice in Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. That verse has been my mantra over the years in dealing with difficult situations. Having said that, it also seems today that in our world there is a tidal wave of moral relativism that is sweeping across our country. Many people have rejected the idea that there are absolute rights and wrongs, and instead have chosen to follow their own sense of morality. They do what is right in their own eyes, believing that they and they alone get to decide what is right and wrong with themselves. These same people also believe that we are supposed to acknowledge their beliefs, endorse them, and that we're wrong if we believe differently. As law enforcement officers, parents, citizens, and leaders in our community, the very best way we can combat this is always setting a positive example for those around us, regardless of the circumstances that we are in. As Christians and as law enforcement officers, not only should we talk the talk, but we need to walk the walk. Well, I talked a little bit about police reform earlier, and I want to go a little bit more in depth to that. Lots of folks who don't know the first thing about law enforcement are very quick to realize that the police, or to blame police when anytime someone is hurt or killed while being taken into custody. Well, up on the screen are some of the practices that these police reform advocates have pushed forward. These include things like banning chokeholds except when deadly force is authorized, mandating de-escalation techniques when feasible, and mandating that law enforcement officers intervene when they witness another officer violating use of force laws. I am incredibly proud to tell you that our police department has had each of these policies in effect since approximately 2012. As have the majority of professional law enforcement agencies in Grand County and across the United States. In 2005, when we formed the police department, we mandated that officers complete a report every time they display a weapon or have to use force. We have also always mandated that law enforcement officers intervene to stop other officers from improperly using force. Now, in 2023, all law enforcement officers in Colorado will have to wear body cameras. The great law enforcement agencies in Grand County have already been wearing them for 4 years. So I think it just shows how great our officers are. We all place tremendous value on human life, including our own. But there is one thing we can never predict, and that's how a subject will react when we are in contact with him. We can use the very best de-escalation tactics in the world, but a conflict with a suspect involves at least two people, and one of those people is always almost under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or is suffering a mental health crisis. When officers are confronted with a situation involving someone who is breaking the law or who is a danger to themselves or others, we seldom have the option to just walk away. We have to deal with it, and unfortunately, sometimes in those situations, it ends tragically for everyone. Well, in 2019, our agency responded to over 4,800 calls for service, and we made 311 arrests, but we used force in only 21 of those occasions. None of those resulted in a complaint against the officer or were deemed in our review afterwards that they were outside policy. In other words, we used force in only about 0.5% of our official contacts. And that doesn't include the other thousands and thousands of people that we interact with every year on a social basis or just incidentally. Having intimate knowledge of the other agencies in this county, I can tell you that they will all have similar numbers, which shows just how incredible our law enforcement officers are. These statistics show that our cops are absolute experts at de-escalating tense situations, and that when we have to use force to make an arrest, it's the minimum necessary to get the job done. Next, the chaos in our world was predicted by not only several prophets in the Old Testament, but by Jesus himself. What we are seeing is nothing more than the evidence of the spiritual battle occurring between God and Satan. Excuse me. I've said more words in the last 2 days than I usually do in a month. I'm not used to talking that much. If you'd please turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, starting verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 3, and it should be up on the screen. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, saying, "I am the Christ," and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. So if we believe that God's word is true, and it is, we should not be surprised at any of the things going on around us. Whether it's lawlessness, large natural disasters, or never-ending civil unrest, these are just birth pains. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I'm not going to stand up here and say that our world is coming to an end. But I am saying that I believe this stuff was predicted a long time ago. Well, there's absolutely no question that the isolation caused by this pandemic, political divisiveness, and the civil unrest in our society has caused the love of many to grow old for one another. We see it on the news every single day, and especially in the last 12 months. But as protectors of society, I urge each of you to remember why we are here. We may be the only Jesus Christ that some people ever meet, and if we are angry and resentful, we become just one more broken person looking to blame other people for their problems. Now, in the last year, Pastor Samuel, and before him Doug, spent a lot of time talking about spiritual warfare, and I cannot come close to their wisdom, but just to reiterate, in Ephesians 6:12, Paul said, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Well, as cops, we've all been subjected to hateful words and acts of personal violence. And while it's difficult not to take these actions personally, most of the time they're directed at us only because we're wearing a badge or a uniform and not because of who we are as people. But as the thin blue line between good and evil in our society, we must never forget that people doing evil things are only a symptom of the problem. The real problem, and the one we often forget about, is the spiritual battle caused by Satan's desire to rule the earth. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul said, "The god of this world, who is Satan, has blinded them to seeing and understanding the truth." Expecting people who are spiritually blind to understand what Christian values are is like expecting somebody who is physically blind to understand what an orange looks like. In other words, they can't help it, which is why we are all called to be salt and light in our world and with the people we contact. Jesus understood this principle very well, and he demonstrated it over and over again in his life. He was never harsh with people who didn't have godly values because he knew that they were blind. The only people he was ever harsh with were the religious leaders of the day because they should have known the truth. In Luke 23:24, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As we fight this battle, we can never forget that the biggest part of it is what goes in our minds every day. We have to fight it every single day. And if you're like me sometimes, several times a day. As human beings, we can only focus on one thing at a time. And when we take the focus of our attention off of Christ and instead focus on ourselves and our problems and what is going on around us, we make what is going on about us, and we stop being servant leaders to our community. The great philosopher and grill master George Foreman once said, "Being angry and resentful with someone lets them live rent-free in your head." I first heard this phrase from a police psychologist named Kevin Gilmartin. Although his version of this quote was quite a bit rougher, truer words have never been spoken. Now let's just think about this for a moment. If I am upset because of the way someone treated me, some law or regulation I don't agree with, or anything else that I don't have any control over, who is the one who suffers from that? Well, it's me. It's certainly not them. They're probably not even thinking about it. They're moving on to the next thing. I'm the one who suffers the most when people live rent-free in our heads. When we let things like disappointment, hurts, and anger live rent-free in our minds, we're telling God that we don't think that He's in control or that He knows what He's doing. We take God off the throne and put ourselves on it. Satan is a masterful liar, and he likes to get inside our heads to distract us from what our real mission is. He wants us to believe that this is about people and the things that they do to make us angry. When we allow what's going on around us to affect what we think about others and how we treat them, then we become just like them, and that's exactly what he wants. I tell you this because although I am considerably better than I was when Robin and I got married 38 years ago, I am still wrapped a little bit tight from time to time, and I put myself on the throne. In fact, Robin regularly reminds me that it's not about me. And she has put up with me for a very long time and some of my stupid stuff, and it keeps me grounded to have her around, which I'm incredibly grateful for. Well, in times such as these, the only way we can avoid letting our love for others grow old is to first recognize that we live in a fallen world, and second, allow the power of the Holy Spirit to control our thought processes. We need to always strive to love our fellow man the same way that God does, so much that he sent his son to die for them. And if we think about that for a moment, take a second and think about the person you dislike most in the whole world, the person that has treated you worse than anybody else. And then understand that that person does not need salvation any more or any less than anyone else in this room. That is how God thinks about them. That's how he loves them. And that's how we should think about them as well. So instead of being bitter and angry, practice gratitude. One of the things I am most grateful for is that Grand County is the very best place to live, and we still live in the best country on this earth. We have tremendous freedoms in this country. It's a little troubled right now, but I am incredibly grateful for the freedoms that we have. Chuck Swindoll said, "We have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude." Swindoll goes on, "I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with us. We are in charge of our attitude." Well, number three, we cannot fight this battle with earthly weapons. As a law enforcement officer, would anybody in this room expect one of our officers to rescue hostages who are being held by an armed and barricaded gunman with only a can of pepper spray? Absolutely not. That would mean certain death for the hostages and most likely the officer. We would use the correct tools for the job, including body armor, a shield, a helmet, and the appropriate weapons to give us every possible advantage. We would also take friends if we had the opportunity. We wouldn't try and do it alone. Well, the fallen nature of our world is also holding people hostage, but because this is a spiritual and not a physical war, we must be armed with the proper truth. In Ephesians 6, verse 13, it goes on to say, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which with you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Now that's pretty heavy stuff, but if we look back at the Bible, at many of the great battles that were fought in the Old Testament, we will see that every one of these battles was fought first spiritually and then physically. In Joshua chapter 5, when the Israelites fought in the Battle of Jericho, they won by doing nothing more than following God's orders to march around the city for 7 days and blow trumpets. And the walls of the city collapsed, giving them victory. In Judges chapter 7, when Gideon and his small force of only 300 men defeated the Midianites and Amalekites, who were numbered in the tens of thousands, he did so by surrounding the enemy encampment with torches and trumpets, just as God had directed. Even the great warrior David understood this principle. As only a shepherd boy, when he fought Goliath, literally no one, including his own brothers, thought he had a chance to win. But in 1 Samuel 17:45, the Bible says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head.'" And as we all know, David then killed Goliath using only a sling and a stone he gathered from a creek bed, and the Israelites defeated the Philistines. That is the attitude we all need to have as we fight our battles. We must first focus our attention on who the enemy really is, and secondly, spiritually equip ourselves with the proper mindset and tools, follow the Lord's guidance, and finally, gather together with other like-minded men and women so that we can do battle together. Well, have hope. This battle was won before the world was created. From the third chapter of Genesis to dozens of times in the Revelation, the Bible stated many, many times that Satan has lost this battle and that Christ will reign forever. In Daniel 4:3, it says, "How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation." While those around us who don't know Christ may be disheartened to think about what is going on in our world, the unrest that's occurring, we should stand firm in the knowledge that Jesus Christ and his church will ultimately reign. This gives us all tremendous hope for the future. In Romans 8:28, Paul said, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, and those who are called according to his purpose." In other words, we win because we are champions. Knowing that, how can we ever walk around feeling dejected, depressed, disheartened, or angry? Instead, we should hold our heads high, recognizing the same Jesus who defeated Satan on the cross for our sins is always interceding on our behalf, protecting us and prevailing if we will just allow him to. Well, we also need to understand that God is still in control, and finally, what you do matters, and it matters a lot. God did not create us to be fearful of what is going on around us. In fact, the words "fear not" are mentioned over 360 times in the Bible. God created us to thrive in the midst of calamity, to rejoice in the face of persecution, and to stand strong against the tide of moral decay that is sweeping our country. In Isaiah 43:1-2, it says, "But thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, that you shall not be burned, and the flames will not consume you." Was 2020 tough for first responders? You know, I think 2020 was tough for absolutely everyone. But through it all, these principles that keep coming to my mind, that I keep believing in, maybe will help us all not only survive but thrive as we go into this next year. First off, stop watching the news and quit reading social media posts about politics. Quit believing everything you read or hear and only half of what you see. It's okay to be emotionally and physically bruised by the battle. Bruises let you know that you showed up and you did your very, very best. It's okay to cry when you feel overwhelmed by the battle's intensity. It shows you care. And it's okay to allow yourself not to be okay after the day's battle is over with. That shows that you're human. It's not okay for you to act tough all the time and to pretend that this stuff doesn't affect you and to expect everybody else around you to act tough. In 2020, suicide was the leading cause of death for first responders, more than murder, more than accidents, and even more than COVID-19. Being tough just doesn't work. As leaders, I tell you and urge you to frequently reach out to those people around you and buddy check them. See how they're doing. They may tell you that they get tired of you asking, but in reality, they don't. And they really appreciate the fact that you care. And finally, it's okay to ask for help. Your family is a great place to start because they need you to need them. Stop shutting them out of your life if you're inclined to do that just to protect them. Pastor Samuel and this church are also good resources. And if needed, never ever hesitate to reach out to the professional counselors that are available to us in law enforcement to help us wade through the quagmire of vicarious trauma, sadness, and chaos that we deal with. You know what? No matter what you have gone through in the last several months, know that Jesus understands. There is not a single emotion that any of us have been feeling or maybe are feeling now that he didn't experience on his road to the cross. He will be there for you just like he promised and just like he has been there for me. So in closing today, I leave you all with this message of hope. Despite what our mainstream media have said about law enforcement, on the 21st of October, while thousands of people were leaving Highway 34 to escape the fire, our courageous men and women, as well as other first responders, were driving straight into it. Disregarding the very real possibility that none of you might leave, you went. Through hurricane-force winds and flying debris with the roar and light from the inferno in the background, you knocked on doors of homes and helped people load their cars. You went until you were turned back by flames and until every person who could leave was given the opportunity. You honorable men and women saved hundreds of lives that night. And we honor you for your unwavering courage, not only that night, but for every single day that you put the uniform on. You, fellow guardians, have been called for times such as this. Never before has there been so many people who need your leadership and the calming presence that you bring to every situation. Never before in the history of mankind has there been such a vacuum of valiant and righteous men and women such as you to stand in the gap between good and evil. So I urge you from the bottom of my heart to cast off those things that hinder you as you fight this battle and run this great race. Rid yourselves of things like hurt, anger, and bitterness that weigh you down and keep you from serving our citizens in the same stellar manner as you always have. Despite the hateful things that have been said about you this last year, you are the very best at what you do. The good people of your community and I need you and love you a lot. For we know that you will always run towards danger while everyone else is fleeing. We know that you and your fellow guardians will always hold the line against evil. And we know that if you continue to fight this good fight, in the end, the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May our Lord Jesus Christ protect each and every one of you as you courageously serve your communities with integrity, with honor, and with pride. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to learn about you. And thank you so much for the law enforcement officers and other first responders who willingly put their lives in danger every single day to protect our citizens. Thank you for a community that supports its law enforcement officers and is behind them every step of the way. As we move forward, Lord, in this coming year, we know things are going to continue to be tough, but we ask that you keep us focused on who the enemy really is in this, and let us not focus on people doing evil things. We pray your prayer of protection upon our officers, physically, emotionally, and mentally, as well as spiritually, so that they could go out and serve citizens and do the very best they can. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Glenn, for such a powerful message that speaks. As I was listening to Glenn, I was thinking, you know, throughout the services, I need to pray more for the officers. Amen. And first responders and firefighters and everyone who's serving out there. And how often, you know, we underappreciate them when we see them in the highway or in the stores or restaurants. And, you know, today we want to just invite all of them here, the police officers, so that we can pray for them. Also, any volunteer or any first responder, whether volunteer or paid, we want to invite you up here and just ask you for your name and where you work, what you do, and then the elders that are here want to pray for you this morning before we leave. Amen. Mike, you want to lead the crowd? Come on, guys.
All right. My name's Derek. I'm a sergeant at the Grant County Sheriff's Office. I actually did this last year, but Chief Trainer does a much better job than I do. So I just appreciate everybody coming out to support. I said it last year, and I'll say it again this year. Our community does support us. I hear 10 times a day, thank you for your service, and maybe once in a week somebody shouting out hateful things towards us. So I really think that Grant County is a great place to live, and we appreciate our community.
Good morning. Wayne Schaefer. I'm the undersheriff at the sheriff's office. I'd like to echo a lot of those words. We're very fortunate and humbled to be servants in a community that is so generous to us. Just things like this, you know, once a year we hear it all the time, and it's just very humbling. And I think that the only thing that I would add to that is we appreciate all the prayers and support. There's none of us that came out of that fire that didn't look up and say thanks, you know. And I think that's important. So.
Jeff Bachman, I'm a lieutenant with the sheriff's office, and they summed it up.
Paul Finley, sergeant with the Fraser Winter Park Police Department, and I, again, just want to thank all of you and our entire community for all the support you give us.
Matthew Murdoch, I'm also a sergeant with the Fraser Winter Park Police Department. Thank you for your support and partnership.
Anthony Fernandez, Fraser Winter Park Police. I am not a sergeant. I'm just a patrol officer. But thank you all for coming out and support.
Aaron Traynor, I'm with the Sheriff's Office. I am a sergeant. I appreciate the community as a whole. And I don't think there's probably a guy up here on the street that doesn't have a story of, you know, somebody berating us or something like that. And a community member is basically stepping in and saying, no, those are our cops. That's not how you talk to them. And sticking up for us. So I appreciate that as well.
My name is Mike Blevins. I'm not a chief, a patrol officer, or sergeant. I'm not even in law enforcement. But I'm a search and rescue. Worked with almost every guy up here at some point or another in what we do.
All right. My name is Jonathan. You can call me John, Jonathan, Stark, Starkey, whatever you like. And I just drove back up here from the hospital. I have to return to work on Monday, and I was going to come back Sunday, and so I want to be here for this day. First of all, I've missed being here. Second of all, it's just our family. I think everyone knows how challenging this past year has been for my family. I have a beautiful godly wife, actually a hot godly wife, and six boys. Thank you. And six boys, Brody, Luke, Ronan, Isaiah, Solomon, and Knox. And Knox is still in the NICU, although this morning he is basically off of everything. It really is a glorious thing. About three Mondays ago, he was on the verge of death. We actually said goodbye to him and prayed for him. From that Monday to having everything pretty much removed from his body, he had two PICC lines, IV line, ART lines. He was on a ventilator, had chest tubes. To now he has nothing at all. They were concerned about him being able to feed well. They've told us to hold on and brace tight because it could take months. This on the right up here, my wife texted me that he just took 81 milliliters orally and his total feed per session is 84. So he took 81 out of 84 of what they wanted him to have. They were expecting 5, 10, 15 per feeding. So he's going to be getting out soon. So that's an awesome thing. So just to give that update, but I do work for the Granby Police Department. I've been working there for coming up on 6 years, and I love every minute of it. This is an us thing. This is our family. The community is our family, and that's very evident in the population that we serve daily.
Granby Police Department, everybody knows me. I'm Rich. We just thank you for all your support and prayers. Thank you very much.
Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you for this time when we get the opportunity to see their faces and hear their voices, Lord, and to hear Glenn, Lord, share the vulnerability, Lord, that is going on in their hearts many, many times. And Lord, I pray that you make him strong to go forward, Lord, in your name, doing your will. And Lord, make him weak, weak enough to surrender to you every day and to trust in you, because that will be the only way for them to accomplish your will, Lord. And without you, Lord, they are nothing, Lord. But in your strength, they will be conquerors all the time. So guide them, direct them, protect their families, Lord. And we thank you and honor, Lord, them for everything you have done through them in our community. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.